Are you in need of a passport in a hurry? Look no further. Global Passport Express is here to help. With our efficient and reliable services, we can process your passport in as quick as 7 days. That's right, just 7 days. And that's not all. We specialize in visas for many countries, including popular destinations like China, India, and so much more. Whether you're planning a family vacation, a business trip, or your next mission trip, Global Passport Express is your one-stop solution for all your passport and visa needs. So why wait? Reach out to us today at 210-375-7525 to speak with one of our friendly and knowledgeable representatives. They will guide you through the process and answer any questions you may have. You can also visit our website at www.globalpassportexpress.com. For more information and to start your application online, it's quick, easy, and convenient. Mention this ad and receive 10% off any of our services. Don't let time constraints hold you back from your travel dreams. Trust Global Passport Express to deliver your passport fast, hassle-free, and with a smile. Global Passport Express, your passport and visa experts. Get ready to explore the world.
Welcome to the Taking the Land podcast. This is your home for daily audio sermons from Christian Fellowship Ministries. God has gifted our fellowship with some of the finest preachers in the world, and we want to share.
1970, my wife and I came to pastor the Prescott Church on the 11th of January, 1970. And when we did that, we stepped into destiny. The church on Lincoln Street held 72 people. 29 people were in that first service. 7 of those was our family. God packed that place out. Within 2 years, we moved into property that we owned on Ruth Street, 937 Ruth Street, built 3 times in that property. The last Bible conference that we held there, we got a letter from the city. Said, if you're ever going to do this again, you need to let us know because you're beyond the limits of your occupation. We built this building. When we built this building, we have enlarged it one time. God powerfully moved. Wonderful blessing. Destiny is being expressed here tonight in this place. Last night, what a glorious night. Can you say amen? That was God's destiny. But having said that, that destiny is not finished. Tonight I'm going to read a passage of Scripture from 1 Chronicles 29. David is going to build a building. That building is going to be called the temple. Let me read these verses to you. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the temple, and the work is great because the temple is not for man, but it's for the Lord God. Now for the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things to be made of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and besides, slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I've set my affection on the house of my God, I've given to the house of my God silver and gold, above all the things that I've prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver, 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses, the gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver, and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen who then is willingly to consume himself this day to the Lord. Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. They gave for the work of the house of the Lord God 5,000 talents of 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave whatever gave whatever they had, and to the treasury of the house of the Lord, into the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because of a loyal heart. They had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and forever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory. The victory and the majesty for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." This was a wonderful day. So as I said, when my wife and I came to Prescott, Arizona, we stepped into destiny. All that we're enjoying this week, all that we've enjoyed in the conferences through the years is not some genius we had, but it's something God did to demonstrate the testimony of His glory and of His power. We stepped into destiny, and this is continuing. Last year, in the summer, Greg began to ask me, he said, "Dad, at what point do we need to think about building another building?" I said, "Well, they say that at 80% of your capacity, you need to think about building because you're at your peak at 80% of your capacity." And we were at 80% of our capacity at that time. He began to investigate the dynamics of what was involved, contacted architects, contacted people that are involved, put together a plan. We brought to our council, we brought to our church in our annual meeting this year that we want to build a building, and showed some plans concerning that, and we launched off into Monday. That's tomorrow. That's a week from Sunday. The ground is going to be start broken. James Martinez, who contracted, tore off the overhang, and he already started ahead of time. And Monday, things are going to be torn up around here for this new building. Can you say amen? Yeah. What a wonderful blessing. Our ladies all rejoice because no more outside toilets. All of our people rejoice because no more uncomfortable plastic chairs. So tonight I'm taking an offering for that new building. Now listen to me for a moment. Some years ago, it was Oral Roberts that began to talk about seed faith. What he was saying was that we can trigger a dynamic by faith in an action that we give. Generally, this involved finances for some kind of endeavor for the kingdom of God. Think with me for a moment, because from that period of time, we've seen this carried forward. Many people have picked this up, and they began to take seed faith offerings, and millions of dollars have been raised by that. Now think about this for a moment. Lincoln Street, 72 chairs. Ruth Street, legally we could seat 450 people. The last conference there, we were running 1,400. Which is why the city wrote us a letter and said, if you're going to do this again, you better write us because we are not going to give you approval. This church, we're already running 80% of capacity. And the conference, thank God for the tent. Can you say amen? Amen. It has served a wonderful purpose, but that purpose is past. Now we're moving on to God's strategy for expanding a building that's going to house our conference comfortably for some period in the future. We'll cross anything beyond that as we get to it. So listen to me for a moment. Some years ago, I was sitting in a conference here in this tent, and there was a man came as an athlete. Athletes and professional athletes make ridiculous amounts of money. We were receiving an offering. Mark Olson was receiving the offering, and he said, there's somebody here that is going to give $50,000. This man, when the offering was taken, leaned over to his wife. We had people that were there. Now, this man did not come to the service planning to his wife. He didn't say to his wife, let's go to that church because I'm going to give $50,000. He didn't plan for that. But when Pastor Olson said that, God worked a miracle in his heart. Now, I learned to pray for miracles some years ago, and I'd been praying, God, give us miracle money. When this man leaned over to his wife, he said, make the check for $50,000. There's some people of ours sitting next to them. They heard that. This is the reason I know that God worked a miracle in that service. $50,000. That's a lot of bucks. Can you say amen? Amen. But as I said, and I've been saying, there's more money in the pockets of common people than there's ever been in the history of the world. And there are people sitting in this audience tonight, you could give $50,000. Now listen to me for a moment. There's numbers of people here that you need a building. You're praying for a building. You're asking God for a miracle. I want to challenge you tonight to give an offering. You may not have $50,000, but you've got something. There are churches here that your entire destiny has been set in place by what began in these tents upon this place, upon this property. I want to challenge you to give a seed faith offering, the largest that you can imagine in your heart, that God is going to give you access. We've heard reports even tonight. I've talked to people that are looking at buildings tonight and planning, and you need a miracle from God. I want to challenge you to give a seed faith offering, the largest offering that you could ever imagine, for this offering tonight, believing God, he's going to trigger for you a miracle in a seed faith, and you're going to get the response of God's miracle. God moves by vision. Can you say amen? People who have no vision for the future, people who do not want to step out and believe God, they never see anything. They just complain the rest of their life. They're not sure that God's alive. I assure you, he's listening tonight to me preach. And as he's listening tonight, he's looking into your heart. And I'm asking you tonight to give the largest offering that you can imagine. I know you don't have it with you, that amount. But I'm asking you to take a piece of paper while I'm talking right now. I'm not finished yet. I'm just getting started. Right on that. We don't need your name. We're going to look at that. Write on that, that within 10 days, you're going to send in to the Prescott Church an offering that God's impressing you upon in your heart. Maybe as many times, many of you have to go home and speak to your congregation and they give an offering and send in for overseas. This is not overseas. This is for the building in Prescott, which is going to start building next Monday. That's 2 days from now, 3 days from now. I want you to write what you're going to give, put it on that piece of paper so that we can have that and know what God is doing. Now think about this for a moment, because in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet says he went into the house of God the year that King Uzziah died, and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and the glory of God was there. As the glory of God was there, he heard the seraphim saying, "Holy, holy." No, no, not just holy. That's what you say. When he said it, rang through the portals of eternity, "Holy!" And the Bible says the pillar shook. As a consequence of that, he said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." But God sent a seraphim, took a coal, touched his lips, made them clean. And then he said, as he heard this voice say, "Who will go for us?" Listen to that tonight. This is a consequence of God in action tonight. Who will go for us? But you see, for people to go for us, there must be a facilitating of that. And last night, God wonderfully helped us as 29 precious couples came to this platform. They're a direct result of the destiny that God started in 1970. It's not finished yet. Can you say amen? It is not finished yet. Hallelujah. It is not finished yet. Not finished yet. Holy. Think about that. Holy. Hallelujah. 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 And the echo of that is going down through the portals of eternity. And there's people sitting here tonight that you're going to be a part of what God is doing. And you're going to respond to this just like my wife and I did. Ignorant young people, so ignorant you can't even imagine. But we stepped into destiny. And this destiny is still going on tonight. And we're asking you now to step in and be a part of this destiny. Write on that paper what you're going to have in 10 days, the faith promise. This is seed faith. You say, "I need a building." You need a building? I'm asking you to launch out with your faith, because God will trigger a miracle for you if you respond and believe God tonight. Bow your heads for a moment. All over this tent tonight, God is touching hearts. There are people here tonight with significant resources. I'm asking for a miracle of God to touch your heart tonight. You respond. If you respond, God will come on the scene for you. And we're believing God as you respond. God's going to release a miracle for you. Seed faith you're triggering tonight to undertake for you. Father God, tonight, I'm asking you to move upon this great conference, Lord. These are your people. This is a work of God. This is not a work of man. Our genius has not brought this to pass, Lord. Our skill sets have not brought this to pass. God, we've simply walked by faith, and you have poured out your Spirit, and the grace of God has touched people around the world through the ministry and the principles that you've put in our heart. I pray miracles of finance. Father God, move upon people with resources. Work miracles in these places. I'm praying release buildings. Lord, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we even ask or think by the power that works in us. Minister, Father God, to these people tonight. Meet the needs, Lord, of our building, we pray. And we're believing this in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you as you give tonight. Bless you. I got so excited about the offering, I forgot I'm preaching. In your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Thank you all for the wonderful blessing that you are to us. We deeply appreciate all the pastors who come and help us establish Dominion, keep the message going, giving of your lives, all the cooperation that we get. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Traditionally, it has been interesting for people to give dignity for ministers. I preached a sermon recently where I said that word ministers has distinctive meaning. It means that these are people who serve others. So in the process of time, Sinclair who wrote The Scarlet, the book on the scarlet sin. But before that, and Elmer Gantry, ministers of the gospel, were highly esteemed. Nobody spoke derogatively concerning that. Elmer Gantry and book that was written, Sinclair Lewis's book, The Scarlet Letter. So tonight we have one verse of scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. And I want to read that verse of scripture and minister to you about ministry tonight. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me in that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. So let's define ministry for a moment this evening, because when Jesus began his ministry, the disciples had no clear understanding or reference point for what it was. Jesus, in several places in the scripture, has to explain to give them a meaning of what this was. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 and 8, it came to pass that as they went on the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. Now that has tremendous meaning, because he's giving some meaning concerning that. The personal sacrifice that's going to be involved as you respond to the call of ministry. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 says, but Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them. In verse 28 of Matthew 20 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now think about this for a moment, because minister is God's structure for the church. Lock that down in your mind. God set ministers in the church, and this is why Paul says, I thank God, our Lord, who enabled me in that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, this has practical elements tonight. One of these is that he calls a minister of the gospel a physician. In the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 31 and 32, and Jesus answering said unto them, they that are well need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Not only that, but he calls them a shepherd. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 14, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. He calls them servants. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. For the Son of Man, even the Son of Man, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. There's recently an article, I think it was in Christianity Today, about Benny Hinn's nephew. Benny Hinn's nephew married a Christian girl. As she married him, he began to get his eyes opened as she began to work on him and say to him, you're not a minister. We're not ministering. This is wrong. So he writes in this article and he says these words. He said, the first year was a whirlwind tour of luxury. Think about that. This is ministry. The first year was a whirlwind tour of the luxury. He's a nephew. And he says $25,000 a night, royal suites in Dubai. That's roughing it. Can you say amen? seaside resorts in Greece, tours of the Swiss Alps, villas on Lake Como in Italy, basking on the Golden Coast of Australia, shopping sprees in Harrods in London, and numerous trips to Israel, Hawaii, and everywhere in between. The pay was great. We flew on our own private Gulfstream, and I got to buy custom suits. All I had to do was catch people and look spiritual. What a burden. Are you listening to me? All you folks who are hooked on TV, remember that the next time you turn on Benny Hinn. He's toughing it. So the Bible says that a genuine minister is one to whom the people have access and who are available. As I was preparing this, I was thinking about this because I had somebody that came and joined our fellowship that didn't begin our fellowship years ago, and he was stunned that I answered my own telephone. Now think about that. You know why I have a telephone? So that I can answer and talk to people. He said, Pastor Mitchell, you answer your own phone? I said, of course I do. He said, I just can't grasp that. I said, well, give it a whirl. I'll answer it. So think about that now for a moment, because this contradicts much of what the Christian world is all about. The image today of TV evangelists, mega church pastors, is this is an elite group of people. They never answer their own phone. Years ago, district supervisor John Holland came to our conferences, and he's stunned. He said, I'm astonished. You're able to put these conferences on without a staff that do the registering, do all of this. And he said, I can't even believe that you do this without a staff. I said, well, we have people that work. You know what work is? W-O-R-K. You know what that is? Greg just gave appreciation for hundreds of people who made this conference possible because they did the work for him. So I want to talk to you tonight about an essential dimension here, because this is beyond the common. There is a transcendent dimension to being a minister that goes beyond the common boundaries. Let's think about the profane for a moment. If you want to learn about profane, look up Esau. The Bible says that God gave Esau a holy dimension. Think about this. I said holy. You say holy, holy, yeah, holy. No, holy. When they spoke those words, the pillars of the temple shook, because that word means something. God gave to Esau a holy dimension. It's called the birthright. Esau had no appreciation for that. And Jacob, one time when Esau's coming in from the field after hunting, he's there cooking a pot of beans. The aroma goes out and down through that. I know that that Mark Olson told you this morning he still hates the word beans. But there are people that still eat beans, you know. He's cooking up this pot of beans, and it wafts down the thoroughfare. And Esau comes in. He says, give me some of those beans. And Jacob said, oh, no, no, these are my beans. If you will give me your birthright, I'll give you these beans. Esau said, I'm dying. He's lying through his teeth. He wasn't dying. He just wanted to feed his greed. He gave to Jacob his birthright, and God saw that. When God saw that, he marked it down, because that was a fatal mistake. He gave something away that was holy. This was a great error of a personal choice, because he lightly esteemed that which was holy. Now think about this for a moment. On the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, his train filled the temple. There were seraphim around, and the seraphim said, holy, holy, holy. The pillars of the temple shook at the sound of that. And when I heard that, when God said, who will go for us? I said, my lips just being cleansed, here am I, send me. I wonder this week, individual, as you heard men of God up here giving the challenge. Somebody just told me tonight that when I preached Monday night, meat and potatoes, that's what I always preach, that's all I have. And somebody heard those meat and potatoes, went to their pastor, and they're going to the mission field. They stood on this platform last night because meat and potatoes struck the dimensions of their heart, and they obeyed and heard that call. Thank God for that. Can you say amen? First Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight of it, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Now, we're talking about a sacred dimension. I received a magazine this month. It was a magazine, the entire magazine was dedicated to Billy Graham. Billy Graham is in eternity now, but that entire magazine was dedicated to a man out of the hills of North Carolina who heard this word holy. When he heard that, something happened to him when he also heard the words, here am I, or who will go for us, and he responded, here am I, send me. Now, this is a sacred dimension. Think about that, because this is clearly a acknowledgement of something that is sacred, is holy. Having an open heart, God saw that heart. He took the coals and touched his lips, and he's made clean and enabled by the power of God. Jesus, Paul said, enable me because he counted me faithful. A ministry, if you want a simple definition tonight, a ministry is an assignment from God enabling by the Holy Spirit to do a work to represent Jesus Christ. So here's the error of Demas. You can read about Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Listen to this. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and he's departed unto Thessalonica. Now, we don't know all the dimensions about Demas. All we know doesn't say that he went back to an old girlfriend, or he went back to whiskey, or he went back to oxycodone or oxycontin, or he went back to pot. All it says is he went back to the world, having loved this present world. And that's the story of Demas. Sacred and holy. No. Shoved that aside. And he went back for what he wanted to do. And we knew very little about him from that time forward. I have the privilege of ministering sometimes to young pastors or would-be pastors in Bible studies and sermon making. And one thing I say to them, if you want ministry, it will take your entire life. Not a hobby. Joe Camel preached about hobby pastors. Hobby pastors are pastors who want the credentials. They want the recognition. They want to come to conference, but they don't want to go full-time and give their all and pay the sacrifice. I was in Australia last February, and in a pastor's seminar, they said to me, Pastor, how soon should a pastor go full-time? I said, just as soon as he can. Amen. What do you mean? I mean as soon as he can sacrifice, downscale his standard of living, make a sacrifice to God, and begin to live. Because when your income is less than your outgo, your upkeep will be your downfall. And I've just described several pastors. I've known pastors. They could have gone full-time. Some tried it for a moment, but when the pressure come, mama began to complain. How many of you know that when mama's happy, everybody's happy? When mama's unhappy, ain't nobody happy. Mama began to complain, and they went back to buy things. You can't have full-time in ministry, eat out five times a week, drive the latest model car. I want to tell you, you're going to have to pay a price. And I said to these pastors, you're going to have to give everything you have to ministry, and you have to do that if you want to be full-time. So think about this for a moment. Here's Billy Graham. Billy Graham made several statements which were classic. They asked Billy Graham, and, you know, Billy, you're getting notoriety. You know, do you ever think about going into politics and maybe you could be elected to office? And he said, why should I stoop to political office when I'm a representative of the king? That was Billy Graham. That means something. So let's ponder this for a moment. He also made the statement, if you can do anything else in life but pastor, do it. Now think about that for a moment. Say, well, I could do a lot of things. I know you can, but you can't do what God wants you to do. When he said that, he was saying that a man who pastors, a man who is a minister, is obsessed with his calling, and he can't be happy doing anything else but preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's ponder this for a moment. Colossians 4, verse 17 says these tremendous words, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry to which you've received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. Now that means something powerful. I made known some years ago, I read the book China Road. When I read that book, I said, China's going to open. I started planting churches in China because I knew that China's going to open, because they started in the capitalist principle, and it's changing China right before our eyes. This book was written by a man who was a Christian. When he was a young man, he felt called to the ministry. He came to his pastor and he said to his pastor, I feel like I should give myself and become a minister. His pastor said to him, I think that you could exceed far above that. You could do other things. And so he listened to his pastor, forgot the call of God, became a journalist. He wrote the book, China Road. He was leaving China. He decided he's going to take a tour. And he took a long tour of China, stopping and observing various things. He stopped one day at a small church, and he went into that small church. They did not have a pastor or a preacher. They saw him as a white man. They said, you do the service for us. You preach today. He said, no, I'm not a preacher. They said, oh, yes, you do. They got him a Bible. They insisted. And he read some passages of Scripture and gave some kind of elocution, and they're deeply moved. But more than that, he's deeply moved, because he remembers the day when he went to his pastor and said, I think maybe I am called to preach. And his pastor said, oh, you could do better than that. Billy Graham says, when you're called to preach, don't stoop to be a president. Let's ponder this for a moment as we move along here, because Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 20 and verse 9 these words, then I said, I'll not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not refrain. Now here's Jeremiah, he's tired. He's getting persecuted. They put him in a cesspool. They insult him. He said, I'm going to quit this thing. I'm going to give up. But he said, as I did that, a fire was burning in my bones. Preacher, do you ever feel that? If you haven't felt that, read Isaiah 6 again. Holy, not holy, holy! And picture in your mind the pillars of the temple shaking as those words go out. The consequence was that, here am I, send me. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. The Bible speaks these faithful words, unbelievable words, as God says to Jeremiah these words, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now, you've heard me say that when my wife and I began in ministry, we were just ignorant young kids. More than that, I would say we're stupid young kids. No social graces. no understanding, but God can use a jackass to speak. Can you say amen? So let's ponder this for a moment, because we're talking about what God can do. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, "But watch you in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry." So now we're talking about eternal dimensions. Picture that temple again. Here is an image of who God is in His glory. And the seraphim say, "Holy, holy, holy." And the pillars of the temple shook. And a man answered out, "Here am I, send me." Let's ponder this for a moment. Is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, says these faithful words. Listen to these words. "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Churches are filled with good people doing nothing. I preached that in my church. I was in Holland, and the pastors were asking me about that, said, "What's the solution to that?" I said, "Preaching, that's what the solution is. Make them feel miserable till they do something." I came back and preached in Prescott. I don't know what I called it, but I used that several times. Every person is called to some ministry. It may not be an evangelist, it may not be a pastor, but every person is called by God to do something. Richard Ruby, I'm told, spoke these words. He said, "Don't tell me how good you're doing if you're not involved in some ministry." I preached in our church, a word similar to that. I used an illustration when I was in Canada pastoring. No one would visit that church till somebody in that church would grab them and invite them home. It's salmon countries up there. They'd have canned salmon that they caught with their own hands, put them on biscuits, have tea, and I could be assured, and I learned something out of that, and I preached on hospitality. Every individual in a church can practice hospitality. They're lonely people that attend your church. They're desperate people that attend your church. They're looking for somebody that cares for them. I was eating at the famous Golden Corral, the Glutton's Paradise. I looked over, and as I looked over, I saw a couple. They're probably in their middle 70s, and they're sitting with one of our men who are out of the recovery program. Nothing in common. This young man was doing heroin when he's 15 years old. Came into our program. God touched him powerfully. Now, I know that he was not taking them out for lunch. I looked over at that, saw this couple taking that young man out. I knew his background already because he drove me a couple of times from things in Phoenix. I knew his background. Smoked pot the first time when he's 11 years old. Became a heroin addict at the age of 15, got saved when he's 22, I think. And here's this elderly couple, husband's retired from his job. They got other things to do. They got other fish to fry. But they believe in ministry. They're never going to preach. They're never going to plant a church. They're never going to be in that. But they are in ministry. And that ministry is taking a young convert out, feeding him lunch, and being a friend to him. I never did ask him what they talked about. Doesn't matter. He was thrilled. I can know that. Because here are old folks that care about his soul and are taking him out to lunch. Now, the Bible gives examples for a moment. The Bible says when you serve others, you are in ministry. Matthew 10, 41 and 22 said, "He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no way lose his reward." If you haven't read the book, Still Taking the Land, after you're gone, you need to read it. Because in that is a full sermon I preached on hospitality. Anyone in this congregation or audience can practice hospitality. Say, well, that might cost me money. It might, yes. It might cost me time. It might. I might take out somebody that I don't like. You might. Hospitality is mentioned several times in the Bible. It is a prime principle, and every individual can practice hospitality. After I preached a sermon on hospitality, a young couple came to me, and they said to me, Pastor Mitchell, we believed what you did. We started a ministry. We're visiting old folks. There's a whole field there. Rest homes, people in your church that are older. Some of them no longer drive. Some of them would need to drive to church. Some of them would need some help around the house. But there's a whole ministry there. And they came to me and said, we started that. That couple today are pastoring, ministry. So let's ponder this for a moment, because most Christians serve God in their own will. Now ponder my illustration. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. I heard the voice say, holy, holy, holy. A coal from the altar was put on my lips and made me clean, as I said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Then the voice came, who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Philippians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Christ Jesus. That's a text that I preached from in 2009 when I left Perth, West Australia, and left Tom and Janice Payne as the pastors there. Tom always says that Pastor Campbell tricked him into going there. I don't know about all the dimensions of that, but I could proudly preach that text to that congregation and say, folks, this is my last service. They didn't know that I was leaving. I even had a woman in that church say, how long are you going to be here? I said, just as long as I need to be. And I smiled at her. But I announced on a Wednesday night, I preached on that text, and I said, there's a man coming. This man has my heart. He's a powerful and a wonderful pastor, left security, left leadership role, left all that he has, property that he owns. He's coming here to pastor you. And this is a man that will naturally care for your estate. And he has done that exactly. Let's lift our hands and begin to worship and praise God. Ministry. 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 Ministry, oh God. Hallelujah. I want every head bowed. I want every eye closed for a moment. Maybe you're in this service tonight. Back.
Pastors, disciples, ministry leaders, how many visitors have you lost track of in the last year? Don't you wish there was a better way to stay in contact with people who have visited your church? Like it or not, text messages are the way people communicate today. Some stats to consider, 90% of people prefer text messages over calls. 90% of texts are read within 3 minutes. 45% of text messages get a response. We want to share a solution that our church has started using with great success. It's called Text in Church. Born out of a church plant, the Text in Church creators know what it's like to struggle to get the word out and make meaningful connections with members and guests. More than 35,000 church leaders use this platform weekly to boost attendance and deepen relationships. This is a great solution to help people connect with their churches in a simple, meaningful way. When you use the link in the show notes to create an account, you'll get an instant $100 credit toward all future services. Why not give it a try? Start a free trial using our exclusive referral link below. Text in Church is the number one texting software for churches to make your community feel known, noticed, and loved.
Is your church in need of a brand new flyer design? You're in the right place. We're here to help. My name is Eric Pizarro with Advanced Creative Design. We are offering all listeners of this podcast a 10% discount off their very first order. Feel free to send us an email at advancedcreativedesign23 podcast@gmail.com. Also, make sure you mention in that email that you heard us here on this podcast. Our website will be up soon, but in the meantime, we will be glad to help. God bless you all. We look forward to working with you. Make it a great day.
Hi, I'm Mike Ashcraft, pastor currently in Van Nuys, California. Pastor, man of God, your wife left everything to follow you in your dream. Are you going to leave her with nothing? The Bible says he who doesn't provide for his own is worse than an unbeliever and has denied the faith. As men of God, we're ready to stand before God due to tragedy at any moment's notice. But what about our families? What happens to them if we were to die? There's an easy financial solution so that they don't have to go through poverty or destitution. Call me today, 310-403-6471. That's 310-403-6471.